Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Michael Pilardi will come out to punt, standing at his own 25. Left-footed kicker. It's a high, a wobbly, short kick. Oshesky takes it at the 22-yard line, avoids a defender, now cuts left, 25, 30, still on his feet, 35, 40, out, pushed out of bounds by the kicker, Pilardi, the punter does him, gets him good, but not before a big gain by Oshesky, who's been impressive tonight on punt returns for the Patriots.
Hardy and Paul Perillo of Patriots.com. You can read his 53-man roster projection right now on Patriots.com.
Yeah, please do.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Rip it to shreds.
It's got words
That's
in it.
That's what they're for.
And everything. A little commentary or just one through 53 names?
No, no, it's a little
send.
Little graph on every.
Right.
Little graph on every position.
Publish. Post.
Don't ask me to do it tomorrow because it might be all different.
Well, we're riding the roller coaster
Correct.
Here. The roller coaster stopped at the bottom, and Ryan Allen got off, and Jake Bailey got on, and that's it. And it took off, and that's what your punter is going to be for the rest of the season. By the way, I timed one of the punts last night just to see, you know, the folly of it, and I did it, and I showed it to the guys, and I'm like, oh, look, 4-3-2. Bedard posted 4-3-2 on the same punt.
Oh, so it must be true.
Well, it's just odd because I'm just using like the thing on my phone, and it's nearly impossible to do that, you know, to have two people start and stop at the same time and come up with the
same
number. But
you know, you can watch, and the guy has just an incredible leg. And he gets not just hang time, but he gets distance on it too. And, you know, I think he's going to be an upgrade punting. The other part of it that you teased last segment, you know, the operation for field goals hasn't exactly been flawless. Now, he did miss one. Gostkowski missed one with Ryan Allen in the first game. In the last two games, he's missed one in each game with Jake Bailey. The one last night, and I thought Zoe and Sosi, Bob and Zoe were quick to point out that you watch the replay and the laces were pointed the wrong direction. You know, it's like Ace Ventura.
Right. I mean, it's... I will submit right now. Don't bother saying so. No, I couldn't do it. No, I couldn't kneel down and, you know, handle the snap and place the ball down, even though they say anybody can do it. Not me. I get it. But if you're going to do that and you are going to manipulate the ball once you catch it, as he did, he spun it so the laces were in.
Yeah.
It's hard to fathom how you mess up that part of it. You can handle the snap, you can place it, you could spin it, but you spin it with the laces in. I don't know how that happens. I think that
Jake Bailey will have the ability to get this whole process done the way that Gostkowski wants it, and I don't really have much fear of that. But what I do worry about is it's such a mental exercise, kicking that. You know, if it starts to creep in his head,
whether it's a legit function or not, if Gostkowski is thinking it's because Bailey is holding his
supposed habit,
sure,
the kickers, and he's been so consistent for so long, and then you wonder, all of a sudden, you get something that's different, and does that affect him? So, I mean, just something to keep in mind.
I will keep it in mind, and I am going to go to the default thing. I think it's going to be fine.
I think
this is one that they can figure out. This does not seem to be an insurmountable problem like Now what are we going to do? And I thought it was interesting last night when Belichick was asked about, you know, putting Bailey, you know, this was the first chance for Bailey, Belichick to answer questions, I guess, about Bailey after a game and Ryan Allen being released. Belichick said flat out, well, you got to make decisions, and thought Jake was the better punter. Like, oh, that's actually a lot from Belichick to say that, you know, one player was better than the other, not we did what was best for the football team. He probably said that too, but he said last night, we went with Jake because we feel he's the better punter.
Yep.
So, okay, there, he said it. That's why he's on the team. And can he and Gostkowski figure it out? I would say, of course they can.
Yeah.
Of course they can. And I'm not even sure it's him. I'm not even sure it's him. You know, maybe it's a mechanical.
Laces out.
I'm looking for Ray Finkel.
It's a simple mechanical thing with Gostkowski. Maybe. This is one that you would think, of all people, I would, you know, want to be like a Chicken Little over this. I'm not. I think it's going to be fine. I think they'll figure it out.
Fred Kirsch taught me that.
Oh, did he?
He'll be fine. That's just default for everything, my boss.
It's good for a talk show.
Yeah. He'll be fine. And you know what? For 20 years, everything's been fine.
I know. The sucky part is he's proven right year after year.
It's not the sucky part if you work for the Patriots.
Yeah, well, that's true. Who's going to return punts for this team?
That's a better question. I think that's wide open. And, you know, the kid last night that got a chance to do it, Gunnar Olszewski, I thought did really well. Is that worth a roster spot? Probably not.
But he
spoiler alert, did not make my 53 man.
The Gunner.
But I thought he did a really nice job last night. And I thought Zoe was right to point out on the very first attempt that he had, sort of an unnecessary fair catch. You're not going to open eyes, you know, going out there to fair catch the ball.
That's unfortunate.
But then after that, you know, three or four in a row where.
But for you to cut him over that, guys, Paul, that seems harsh.
I didn't cut him over that.
What'd you cut him for?
I don't really think just punt returning is enough.
Who's going to return punts?
Julian Edelman.
If
need be.
I thought about that. Do you worry about added risk of injury in that role?
Yeah, I mean, the wear and tear obviously would not be ideal. Jacoby Myers is a guy that, you know, has handled punts all summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they can put him back there. I know they've used different guys in those, you know, Rex Burkhead has sort of toyed around with it. I think there are options that they could find to do it if they didn't want Edelman to do it. I don't think you would have to take Braxton Berrios or Olszewski and say, well, we're going to roster these guys because we want them to handle punts.
Rex Burkhead was a guy I wanted to put on the good list last night, and then I went and looked at his numbers. I think he had two carries. I think he maybe had a I'll go back and double-check
it. He had a catch that
he made. Had a catch.
He made a guy miss on a screen and ended up picking up about 8 yards on instead of probably the one or two that he should have.
So when I went back and looked at it, I'm like, God, I really can't back it up with the numbers here. But just to the eyeball test, I thought Burkhead had a decent game last night.
Yeah, I think that both he and Michelle did a good job of making guys miss. Damian Harris had a couple of good rides. You know, Brissett in the second half, Nick Brissett, I thought did a good job of moving the pile a little bit. So their running game looks to me like it's going to be a big part of the offense. We'll see if the passing game can catch up, and you know, obviously hasn't had most of the pieces in place yet.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Paul. It was the reception that caught my eye for 6 yards because he only carried the ball twice and, for 3 yards or something. So it was that catch that kind of stood out to me. Let's go to Ryan in the car. He wants to talk about Brandon King. What do you got for us, Ryan?
Hey, yeah, just quick question. Does the Brandon King injury open up a roster spot for one of those fringe kind of wide receiver guys, Gunnar Olszewski, Braxton Berrios? And if not, what other position does it kind of allow us to keep an extra guy to kind of help out on special teams?
Well, according to Paul Perillo's 53-man roster projection, I don't know.
Brandon King? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, does it open up a spot?
It does open up a spot because I think he was on, but I think there are other special teams types like Keon Crossan or Nate Ebner, even Obi Melifonwu. I think someone like that is going to slide onto the roster that maybe wasn't. Now, maybe those guys were all on anyway, in Bill's projection, which is the only one that matters. But I would say that Brandon King was on, And, you know, if he's lost for the year, somebody that wasn't going to be on is now going to take up a spot. I don't think it'll be one of the receivers. I don't think it'll be Berrios or Olszewski.
Can I ask you something? It doesn't matter. But last night when Brandon King went down, everyone immediately knew. And you can tell by the number of players that gather around.
Yeah.
How do the players on the field immediately know?
My guess is there's some noise made, number one.
Oh, boy.
And I also think that they immediately talk, and there's probably somebody within earshot of
the conversation,
and then they let everybody know.
I thought maybe it was something even simpler than that when they hear someone say, bring the cart. And that's an indicator to the players around there. But it seemed like they knew before the cart was called.
I agree. I think they knew before the cart was called. But I think, you know, there's probably some checking out. You know, maybe they overhear the medical staff say, oh, okay, this is significant. And then, you know, someone's there and maybe they go to the sideline and say, yeah, you know, he was in a lot of pain. And, you know, it doesn't look good. You know, one of those deals. And all of a sudden then they see the cart and then there's 15, 20 players out there. And you see that. You saw that in the first game with Detroit when was it Jermaine Kearse went down. I think he broke his leg. Immediately, you know, you see players all over the place out there. I know that anytime you suffer a significant injury, it stinks. But to do so in the preseason, I think it's got to hurt even more.
Yeah. There were a couple of pass interference challenges last night. Paul, some interesting numbers on those with regard to the entire preseason. So we'll get to those. Talk about the what could be the folly of challenging pass interference this season in the NFL as we continue our fill-in for Zoe and Beadle. Hardy and Paul Perillo here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Michael Pilardi will come out to punt, standing at his own 25. Left-footed kicker. It's a high, a wobbly, short kick. Olszewski takes it at the 22-yard line, avoids a defender, now cuts left, 25, 30, still on his feet, 35, 40, out, pushed out of bounds by the kicker, Pilardi, the punter does him, gets him good. Not before a big gain by Olszewski, who's been...
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com. To schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
If I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat.
T-Bone and I are having a day.
I'd sure enough be single.
Thank you, T-Bone. Thank you. I needed this.
Someone's got to hold it down here, huh?
Well, having a good show. Paul Perillo is making sure that happens here, and Tim McCone doing his job, and Tom is rewarding me for my efforts by playing not one but two Lyle Lovett songs today. So thank you for that, Tom. 617-779-0985. You're welcome to join us here. Pass interference challenges will be a thing in the NFL this season, Paul. We saw Carolina challenge two PI calls last night, or should I say challenge the fact that there were not pass interference calls made right. on the field. So let's talk about those just in, yeah. in the microcosm
I'm
first.
I'm going to give you my views. You know, on those two calls, you know, in the microcosm, to answer you, the first one I thought was clearly not pass interference. I thought Jason McCourty had excellent coverage on the plays. Looking back, he's running stride for stride. Yes, he had his arm out, but not in any way impeding the receiver. I think it was DJ Moore. So that one I thought was perfect. The second one, J.C. Jackson clearly had a couple of tugs of the shirt along the way, but nothing egregious. And I think what you're seeing and what I've seen now in watching three games for the Patriots, there have been challenges, I think, in all three games, and none of them have been overturned as of yet. I think what
so none of them, and I believe there were all challenges where pass interference was not called.
Was not called. I believe that is the case. I think you're right. And I think what the league is telling you is we put this in because we do not want a repeat of last year. We needed to put a mechanism in for these
Saints,
calls to be
Rams.
Reviewed for that Saints-Rams call. We are not overturning anything short of what happened in the Saints-Rams game. I think that's what they're telling you.
You pretty much need to take a receiver's head off.
As I said last night,
10 feet before the ball gets there.
It needs to be a felony. It needs to be a felony for them to call it. And I wouldn't say that any of the ones that haven't been overturned yet have been wrong. I like the way that they've all been officiated. I thought the most egregious one was last night, the J.C. Jackson
the
one.
The second one.
The second of the two last night. But I think what they're telling you is you can challenge them if you want. We ain't overturning them, and it's going to cost you a timeout and a challenge. And I think they're saying, in other words, be smart. Be smart about when you do this. We don't want to change games with ticky-tack armbars.
We are not going to reward challenges on ticky-tack.
Okay, so what I'm going to read to you is a series of tweets that Mike Pereira, who's the former VP of officiating, he said, reasons I said last night that I like the new rule allowing PI to be challenged or reviewed. One, going into last night, 36 total stops in 33 games, and that is with the coaches not concerned about losing a timeout. And we've said this. Mike Vrabel, I think, challenged one that he never would have challenged in the regular season.
Trial balloons.
Right? I want to see what they're doing, and I think it's smart. Find out what the threshold is. What are they going to overturn, right? So even when there's been no regard for losing a timeout, there's only been 33 in 36 games heading into last night. Of the 36, 33 were coaches' challenges, right? Only three stops by replay official inside of 2 minutes are on scores or turnovers.
Okay, there's the other three.
Right, the third one that he mentions, of the 12 challenges where interference was called, none were reversed. They're not going to get overly technical. Of the 24 stops where interference wasn't called, six were changed.
25%.
Okay, so those were interference. Those where interference was added were clear and obvious, with maybe only one that was even close. This rule is taking a call that is so hard to make in real time and has been inconsistently officiated and is making it more consistent. As I stated a few weeks ago, based on a study of the CFL, which has had a variation of this rule for a while, the NFL will have less than one PI replay stop per game, and the obvious error like the one in New Orleans won't happen again. They won't get ticky-tack when reviewing these plays. And the one point that I've been making all along, because there's been a lot of attention to this rule and pretty much a variation of these games are going to take forever has been the biggest concern. I don't understand where that comes into play. They have not added challenges. They've added something that is subject to review, PI or no PI, right? The coaches still have to be right.
Yes.
Or you're still limited to two challenges, three if you get them both right. That's it. You haven't added stoppages. You're just adding a chance to review something. Now, I think what the officials through 3 weeks of preseason action are telling you is what I said at the top. You better be pretty certain it was an egregious error because we ain't overturning the ticky-tack on bars.
Well, I would...
Don't waste your time.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, no, and that's the thing I would be worried about, too, because obviously you want to get that Saints call right that happened in the NFC Championship game. But as a fan, it would drive me crazy if, you know, on 3rd and 23, you just throw a jump ball down the sideline, and because my corner kind of grabbed a shoulder for half a second, you're going to give him that first down. Like, that would drive me crazy as a fan. So as long as it's not overturning ticky-tack stuff, I don't necessarily have a problem with it. But if
I just can't
turn into that, then that's the issue.
But the one thing I would disagree with you on, Paul, is that the people who say this could add to the length of the games and change the pace of the games, you're not adding challenges. I understand that, but you are adding another thing that can be challenged. Right. And there are games where coaches end up with their challenges, they haven't used them. And this is giving them the opportunity to use them. Whereas before they could not. So you are
absolutely,
you're increasing the chance that the challenges will be used. And for that reason, the length and of the game and the pace of the game could change where it wasn't before.
I understand what you're saying. There's another thing that can be challenged.
Yes.
So that,
yes.
That, you know, statistically that raises the chances of more challenges.
Of course.
But my point is you're still limiting the amount of challenges. So you haven't necessarily done it hasn't done that because every game has the potential to have six challenges.
And based on the precedent that they're setting for the coaches in this preseason, I don't know that they will be challenging a whole lot of PI. It sounds like so far what the league is saying is if we didn't call PI, we're not going to call it now. And there's a chance, about a 1 in 4 chance that a PI gets taken away. Was that the 6 of the 24
that they call PI that wasn't called?
Yes.
So,
but the other ones, they're not going to go back and say that. Oh, absolutely. You know, he was interfered with there. No, they didn't. If they didn't see enough live, they're not going to do it unless it is egregious. So, don't be looking for the ticky tack and thinking you're going to be able to get away with one and get yourself some movement down the field. They're not having it. They don't want it.
It certainly would appear that way. And I know there's still a lot of talk about why wouldn't you at the end of a half just throw one up? Well, why wouldn't you have thrown one up before? Like, if you're at the end of the half and you're on your own 40, so you're not in field goal range, it's time for one play, you're throwing a Hail Mary.
Right.
And you're hoping for a penalty.
Right.
Same thing as now. And they ain't going to give you a penalty unless there's a clear and noticeable act of one.
Well, that gets us into the whole how they're going to officiate the Hail Mary differently. And if you want an ice cream headache, we can go down that road,
no,
too.
But my point is, they're showing you in the preseason, they're not just going to give you, like, if it's pass interference, they're going to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's all that they're saying.
Yes. Let's go to the phones here. Paulie in the truck wants to join us. Go ahead, Paul. You're on with Hardy and Paul Perillo and for Zoe and Beadle.
Good day, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hardy, you're holding the fort.
Thank you.
He's the best.
Good job, as always. I want to talk to Paul about the quarterback situation. I have to agree with you, Paul. There's on a couple of different levels. First of all, if you have Stidham as the backup, that pushes Brady. Coaches are running a babysitting service. He's not there to make anybody comfortable. And as a matter of fact, Brady will play better if he's uncomfortable. If you're going to get as much from Stidham, practically as much from Stidham, as you are Boyer, you have to give the job to Stidham because he's younger. He's got a higher ceiling. That means he's probably going to end up being better than Hoyer. And the key phrase that when coaches approached on, he made the comment was, Brian's played a lot of football. But we know that sounded like to me like the death knell, that he wouldn't be on the team for much longer. And we have so much talent defensive back that we're going to need that extra rock spot for that position there. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Paulie. Yeah, you give anything to that Brady may have had a little something extra when Garoppolo was waiting there, as opposed to, say, last year when it was just Hoyer?
Yeah, Garoppolo's different. I do think he got a little bit of a push from Garoppolo because clearly they were telling you, we know the coaches, the quarterback's age and contract status. And Brady, in Brady's mind, was nowhere near the end in 2014. Now it's different. I mean, Stidham's a couple of years away from being ready. Brady's a couple of years away from being done. I mean, let's face it. I think even Tom keeps saying 45, right?
Yep.
And sort of been backing off that a little bit. And if at this point, I think if he probably feels if I have to go to keep playing, you know, so be it. But I think Brady looks at it as, I'm going to be able to go out on my own terms now. I think he's, I mean, we all agree, we think he's going to be back next year, even though his contract will be up. I think something will happen before you even get to true free agency. So I don't look at the push from Stidham as much as I did from Garoppolo. But at the same time, there's no question that Stidham's here. Like, all the stuff that Paulie said about, you know, where Stidham, there's no chance that he wasn't going to be one of the quarterbacks. The only question is, do you keep Hoyer with them?
Right.
And I think that there is an argument to be made that that roster spot could be made to for better use.
Okay. A couple of calls on PI, and also they tried to play a football game in Winnipeg last night. It did not go well. If you haven't heard this story, we'll tell you about it after McCone's Hub Headlines.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and Paul Perillo filling in. Tim McCone here. Take a call here from Tim in Quincy on pass interference and the challenges so far this preseason. What do you got, Tim?
Hey, guys, yeah, my biggest concern is when the NFL made the statement that they were going to call more penalties, how do they think that's going to help the game, A, and B, it's just going to have the referees more in control of a football game. And I'm probably the only one that thinks there's a correlation between gambling and I don't think referees fix games, but I think they can be had. Am I the only one that thinks like that?
No, I'm, there's a ton of people. No. Thanks for the call, Tim. There's a ton of people thinking that any kind of change to the rules or the way the game is officiated could have connotations either to do or because of gambling. No, you're certainly not alone
right,
in that.
But when did the league say that they were going to call more penalties?
They didn't. What they're doing is giving coaches the opportunity to challenge a call or a non-call, and they're not giving them more challenges to do that. They're right. giving them another thing to challenge that they couldn't challenge before.
And I do know if you've watched the preseason games, you're a Patriots fan, surely you've been frustrated with the just incredible amount of penalties that have been called in all three games against both sides. That is a pretty common thing in the preseason. I think one of the things that they're sort of focusing on is holding this year. There's been a lot of holding calls this summer. These things have a tendency to sort of work themselves out once the regular season comes around. And I wouldn't anticipate the Patriots racking up double digits in penalties every week the way they have virtually all three games in the preseason. But in terms of the PI challenges, Hardy, you just explained it perfectly. It's not, they didn't say they're going to call more of them. They're just leaving them open to the review process.
The NFL tried to host a game in Winnipeg last night. I had no idea what a disaster this was before they even tried to play the game. Were you aware of this, Paul? This is fantastic. So apparently, in the days and weeks leading up to it, interest was mild, to say the least. So much so that the front page of the Winnipeg Sun this morning has the headline, "Crowd Goes Mild," with an image of the sea of empty seats at IG Field. So last night, it was the Packers and Raiders set to play a preseason game in Winnipeg, where the Blue Bombers play. Is that the team in Winnipeg?
Correct.
The Blue Bombers. The NFL and IG Field were unable to fill the stadium due to outrageously high ticket prices.
The ticket prices were a problem with that, yes.
Which were still high even after a massive reduction last week. The top lower-level seats were going for about $350 as of Thursday morning, and the cheapest seats...
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Cheapest seats listed at $71. The Sun also poked fun at the product on the field. The front page of the sports section featured the incredibly Canadian subhead. If you thought the Raiders-Packers exhibition game at IG Field couldn't be any more of a gong show, boy, were you wrong. Poor field conditions. So instead of playing on a regulation length field, they shortened it to an 80-yard field.
That's incredible.
Both Raiders and Packers decided to sit all of their starters in preseason game number 3.
Well, evidently the Colts are going to do that with Jacoby Brissett, too. Well,
yeah, the Colts are going to do it, but the fact is they have this big showcase, right? An international showcase for the Canadians. Oh, wait, they have football in Canada. So maybe fans were rubbed the wrong way by this tagline that the NFL used to promote the game. How about some real football?
Oh, boy.
The NFL used that as one of their marketing lines to sell tickets for the Packers-Raiders preseason game at the Blue Bombers field where they play football. How about some real football the NFL decided to go with?
And then you trot out Nathan Peterman, too. That's tough.
It's horrific. So there was a columnist this morning who wrote a game recap. He said, from the starters being scratched to the unusable end zones and the 80-yard field, let's hope last night's once-in-a-lifetime NFL experience is just that.
Well done.
I think there's something to be said and a conversation to be had about the NFL's insistence on pushing their product internationally. I think... of course, you got to try it if you think there's an appetite for it, to use one of Bob Kraft's friends oft-used phrases these days. I have an appetite for these things. If you think there's an appetite for football in London, by all means, play some football games in London. If you think there's a market that is willing to pay the ticket prices in Mexico City, okay, check out, explore right. A team in Mexico City. But if it doesn't go well... What's wrong with keeping the NFL in the United States or, if they wanted to put a team in Toronto or Vancouver or something? Of course, sure. I don't think anyone's going to argue against that, but the pushing it down the throats of some of these markets, it didn't come off as great.
That I don't get. Yes, I think if you put games in London, you'll get sellout crowds. I don't think there's any, but the teams don't really like to do it. You saw last year, not enough is made of these venues. Like you had a problem last night with the field conditions. They had to cancel the Mexico game last year. They had to put it back into L.A. That unbelievable shootout between the Rams and the Chiefs was supposed to be played in Mexico. The 54-51 game?
Yep. Was it stadium concerns?
Yeah.
Structurally unsound.
And I remember when the Patriots played
the field
there,
too, I think was an issue.
It was a field condition.
It was field conditions. Yeah. Okay.
And the Patriots, when they played there, weren't thrilled with the field conditions, if I remember that all correctly. Yeah, I think you can play games. They always had problems in the London games with field conditions. So you can do these things and you can, try to globalize the brand and all these other things that they think are going to up their revenue to, where they want it. I just don't think that you're treating the actual players, the actual teams in your league, you're not putting them first. And I don't know. I just think that sometimes the rush to make more and more money sometimes comes at an expense and they don't really seem to care.
And just so misguided to charge $350 for a preseason ticket.
That's amazing
to
me.
For a preseason ticket. And then, of course, not all the starters. None of the starters played. They didn't even play. And, they didn't even play on a real field. They couldn't get the field to the point where they could play on an entire 100-yard football field. So they played on an 80-yard field. And then you insult the fans and the host city in the process of marketing the game by saying, how about some real football? What are you doing?
Like for a preseason game too. Like it's obnoxious enough to sort of criticize the other country's version of football. But you're giving them preseason football and you're trying to pass that off as real? Like that's as far away from real football as you can get.
Right. It didn't make any damn sense.
I mean, I've seen Pop Warner games with more intensity than preseason games.
Final call of the show is a question for Paul from Howard in Burlington. What do you have, Howard?
Thanks so much, Hardy. And just before I ask Paul, I want to say that The Who is an amazing band. I saw them when I was 22 in 1982 at the L.A. Coliseum with three English guys. And if you've ever seen or heard the Live at the Isle of Wight, that's an unbelievable CD.
Fantastic.
To do.
I agree.
Paul, I just wanted to know, I see this guy Munson running all over the place. He looks good in preseason. Do you think he could replace Brandon King on the roster and special teams? And I'll listen.
I think he'd be in a group of guys that they're probably looking at. I think he probably is not in that mold. I think he's a little bit bigger, and I'm not sure that he would be able to fill the same kind of roles that Brandon King would. But, yeah, he is an active guy. He was around late last year. So he, you know, it's not like he's brand new to the operation here in New England. He's got some very little NFL experience, I think, with the Giants before he came here. I mean, Calvin Munson's a guy. He's been out there. He's made some plays. He's missed some others. I think he's probably on the outside looking in.
Man, is that a perfect way to end this this show on the football calls with a Munson replacing Brandon King type of? You got Munsoned, right? We got Munsoned on that last call. That's all right, though. It's a good question, Paul. I'm glad you were here to answer it. We have Fake Promo Friday for you today. You were here for Fake Promo Friday.
Yeah.
You know what this is all about.
Sure.
We'll do it next.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Don't fix your weight problem. Solve it with proven solutions for weight loss. Awaken180weightloss.com. We got to everything, Paul. I mean, 6 hours of post-game coverage. I would hope we get to everything. There is one news item that we did not touch on today, and that is bad news for Tom Brady. Denied the Tom Terrific trademark. Which was a bit of a surprise to me. McCone had this in his headlines today. I thought he had rescinded or withdrawn his application for that trademark.
Too.
Don't you remember that?
He just didn't want anybody else to call him that. He wanted to get it so no one could use it against him, remember? And you're not allowed to do that.
He didn't want it being used by anybody for anything. And he was good.
Right.
So he was going to be the, you know, the safe keeper of that.
Yeah.
But I thought he had, like... I don't know. I thought he'd taken the whole thing back. But they denied it, McCone?
Rejected.
Rejected?
Rejected.
Who gets to use it? Anybody?
He's got up to 6 months to file an appeal. So we'll see if this goes down the Deflategate rabbit hole.
Tom Terrific trademark in context.
Exactly.
We'll be coming out
all
next.
All right. Move on.
Five. Oh. You want to talk about Patrick Chung? What do you want to talk about instead?
Nope.
Paulie Paul.
How about Calvin Munson?
How about fake promos?
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
To Hardy's point, can we all just agree that beating up your son is worse than blowing a little weed? Yes.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is there anything else from that? Okay, because my immediate response to that was, well, I think we should ask Lil Weed what his thoughts are on this, because he may not have a problem with it. Lil Weed doesn't seem... There's nothing wrong with it. He's on board. Moving on.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, tell me about cake that you've had with a crust.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
What do you call quiche?
Open pie?
Pumpkin pie.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think cheesecake's a pie. I was listening to you guys in the car.
So my brother-in-law trained as a pastry chef,
mm-hmm.
and he says it is pretty much defies categorization. But he thinks that it should have a different name, almost like a cheese tort is really what cheesecake is.
Just a standalone category, yeah.
Pretty much. So that was probably our best segments all week up until today, of course.
Oh, right.
We talked a lot about pies.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
What's that charcuterie they called it? They cut up the board with the cheeses and the charcuterie?
No, I'm trying to get
it. No, it's charcuterie.
What is it? Chicanery.
Here's the word.
Charcuterie.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Amazing that when he saw the word, he was able to pronounce it because it gives a lot of people trouble. Charcuterie board, right?
Okay.
Charcuterie.
What we're talking about.
A charcuterie board?
No, never heard it.
Okay.
Nice cheese platter?
McCone loves him. He puts on that hat of his and his flip flops.
Just delightful.
And he brings out a board
charcuterie
with some fine cheeses and some sliced meats, like the expensive stuff. I'm not talking, you don't do, Hormel. You're talking about really fine stuff. Some crackers. Maybe some kind of fig jam. I think that would probably have a spot on a charcuterie board.
Okay, I'm in now.
All right.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Fred in East Hampton's got a thought on the Patriots. Hey, Fred. Yeah. Fred, you there?
Fred's here.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think that was Fred Kirsch.
I was going to say, that's what happened when Kirsch burst into the studio yesterday during the Patriots pregame.
Fred's here.
Oh, great calls last week. We really did. We had a good week of phone calls. All right, final fake promo. Here we go.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Scott, you want to drop any profanities on the radio show today, like the TV last night, or are we gonna leave that all on the other side?
That's a bunch of bull right there. And you know that.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zoe's finest Scott from Rentham call ever.
Scott from Rentham brought it.
Good stuff.
And you had a lot more energy since that call.
Inspired.
Cone.
Inspired by that.
Good job.
You think he was slacking before that?
Well, that's what Scott and Rentham said.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He needs to bring a little more energy. He was going to fall asleep.
Oh, my. That's the long, drawn-out joke.
Yeah. Long road to grandma's.
We had a couple of jokes today on the program. We had Scott with his joke. We had the caller joke today.
Oh, yeah. The Viagra one.
Oh, that's right. That was good stuff. Okay. Yeah. So great job last night on the TV there, Paul, with Zoe and Sosi and Rochi and Chatham on the radio
Don't
side.
Don't forget, next Thursday, mm-hmm. the all-important fourth preseason game. I know a lot of times that one gets overlooked, but that's really the one where, it's...
Yeah.
The intensity is at an all-time high. Desperation. This is last chance.
It's
last stop for a lot of these guys. It's the all-important fourth preseason game.
It speaks volumes, actually, that you published your 53-man roster projection now. You don't even need that fourth preseason game.
Well, I'll do a
Nobody does.
I'll do a 4.0 after that game, too.
Okay. All right. Good. Well,
maybe.
I will...
Just the final roster. Yeah.
I will be taking next week off. So, after tomorrow night's Revs game...
Not real happy with
that. Won't be seeing me no more. Not until after Labor Day. So you enjoy that.
I
got to
get a replacement
game.
For Patriots.com.
You're letting some evil back into your world, aren't you?
For the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I don't have my host.
Oh.
And some evil lurks about.
I will be back for real football week 1 of the regular season. I'll see you then, Paul.
All right. Thanks, Artie.
Great job, buddy. Felgram Mass coming up next. Tim McComb with the hot headlines here. Thank you to Tim and Tom and Kristen.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati here on an agenda-free Friday. And agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. We come to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.